Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. We trust you are well and continuing to keep safe and encouraged in the Lord. A very special welcome to our young people. I can see Erwin over there, and there's a few outside in the preschool. A little later in the service, they'll go off to kids' church and join us back in church for our last song. We've got a little quiz at the beginning of church for them and for you to help them with what they might be learning in kids' church today as us in our big Bible teaching time together. For those listening in online, on the website, and or you are visiting today, my name is Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister. Very special welcome to you here at Abbotsford Anglican Church. Welcome. We here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are just a group of local people of all ages, all backgrounds, who have come to find meaning and purpose for life, living life God's way, according to His Word, the Bible. And we invite you to know God with us. Thank you for joining us. Involved in our service today is Fiona, who will be leading most of the service with us. Diane will read the Bible to us. Our musos are Adele on keyboard, and Rosemary and Linda and Young Lan are our singers today. We continue our Bible teaching through the book of Acts, which is a continuation on from the Gospel of Luke, and the sermon series title has been "That We May Be Certain of the Things That We Have Been Taught." Today's sermon title is "Another Witness to Trust," as we think about the choosing of Matthias. Our mission focus for May has been on both the work of refugees, the support of work of people who support refugees, in particular the Blair family and the Retondano family, I think I got that right, and also on Anglican police chaplaincy. And if you wish to give above what we normally might give towards ministry to this ministry, there's a little envelope at the end of your pews that you can think about, well, I can give something towards that support of that ministry. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper together in our service. It's a time where we remember not only the love we ought to have for each other as God's people, but the love we ought to have for Jesus and the great love that He's shown towards us. So our very first song that we're going to be singing, and I invite you to stand, is "Your Grace is Strong Enough." It's a song that reminds us that we only can do what we do and are what we are because of God's mercy and loving kindness towards us that keeps us going. So let's stand and sing this together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us today. We thank you and praise you that you know us and we know you. We thank you for a time to gather and worship you, to praise you, to be encouraged and to encourage one another. We ask, Heavenly Father, that what we do now in your sight may be pleasing to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, Erwin, and any of the other kids that might be listening in up the back there or listening in online, here we go. I'm thinking of a name of a person, and it starts with a W. And if I was at a situation where I saw an accident happen, or I saw something exciting happen, or and no one else saw it, and I had to tell the truth about it, do you know who it might be? What's that person that I'm thinking about? Can you think of? What is it, Erwin? A witness. Does anybody know what's so important about a witness to an event? Well done, Erwin. Does anyone know what's important about a witness? Maybe the adults might tell us here. What's important about a witness to an event that happened? Yeah, okay. To get an accurate account. Yeah. And why do we need an accurate account about actually what happened from the witness? Do you think you might know? We want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. Heavenly Father, as the children are with Karen and Anthony and Viddy today, or listening in online, we're mindful of you, and we pray that God will guide you as you are taught from his word about the truth about God and about Jesus coming into the world. He was seen by many people, and that what they teach us about him and what he's done for us and making us friends with God forever is the truth, that we might be certain of the things that we've been taught. Go with our kids now and with our kids' church leaders and encourage them, we pray. Amen. See us all later. Let's all of us stand up again, stretch our legs, because it is a bit chilly outside. I know you may have had to walk kilometres to get to church today because of the parking arrangements, but turn to people around about you and just say, good morning, welcome to church. If you don't know the person next to you, just say, hello, my name's such and such. well done. Good. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Please take a seat. We will be able to stay for morning tea after the church today and continue the fellowship. Please can I remind you to move out into the preschool area, into the sunshine. I think it won't be too hard to encourage you to do that on this chilly, brisk morning with your morning tea and continue the fellowship and chatting. You might like to think about the things and share what we've taught today from God's word or what you've seen or how you've been encouraged. I'm going to hand it over to Fiona now, who's going to lead the rest of our service. Thanks, Fiona.
God, who's given us life and everything, calls us to live our lives to his glory. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbours as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. If we're honest, we fail to honour him and respond to God's love for us. So recognising our guilt and trusting in God's mercy and grace, please join with me as we confess our sins together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have gone our own way, not loving you as we ought, nor loving our neighbour as ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We deserve your condemnation. Father, forgive us. Help us to live for your honour and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we rejoice that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and trust in your Son. Deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we hear from God's word, please join with me as I pray. Faithful God, you caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Enable us to read, note, learn, and inwardly digest them so that encouraged and supported by your word, we may embrace and always hold firmly on to the joyful hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please open up to Acts chapter 1, verses 15 to 26.
In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it,' and 'May another take his place of leadership.' Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand with me as we join in saying together what Christians have believed for many, many centuries. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat.
Please open up your Bibles to the reading from Acts chapter 1. You'll also find it in the bulletin that you received as you came in from by Jeff and welcomed. And we're looking at the verses 15 through to 26, I think, of Acts chapter 1. The other day, whilst driving through Penshurst Tuesday, coming back from dropping our son Jonathan to the doctors, I actually did witness a car accident. It was about 3:20 p.m. in the afternoon, and children with parents were making their way home from the school on the corner. It was a T intersection. It was heavy traffic, bumper to bumper, and a school zone, and two cars in front of me took advantage of a gap in the traffic turning right, turned right out of my street that I was in into the slow-moving traffic to its right. Unfortunately, the car at the front of the gap going that way in the other street stopped suddenly, and the car turning right into the gap didn't and bumped into the car in front of it. Some of you may giggle, some of you may laugh, some of you go, shock. But at the same time, but just prior to the accident that had occurred, the car in front of me had turned left and continued to where it was going. He mustn't have seen the accident. No one, thankfully, was injured. And as I waited and to turn left myself, I saw each of the drivers get out of their vehicles and began to speak to each other. No one was angry, thankfully. They appeared to be dealing with the situation admirably. People walked along the street, that were walking along the street, stopped and were looking, and a couple went actually over to the drivers to see how they were, if they could help, obviously. And as I moved forward to turn left, the two drivers were getting each other's details. I toyed with the thought at that moment, if I should pull over and offer myself as a witness. I saw it fairly clearly, but there were plenty there, and as I turned left, the two men by now had gotten the details from each other and were getting back into the vehicles to drive off. The damage to both cars must have been very little, if none at all. It all appeared to have gone well. But if the situation, however, had been serious and the driver in front of me hadn't seen and hadn't stopped, I saw, and I would have needed to have stopped, and I think you would have to, as you would have too, if it was safe, and offered ourselves as another witness to believe, to trust. This morning, we turn back to the opening chapters of the book of Acts. It's the second volume, following on from the Gospel of Luke, one work written by the doctor, historian, and disciple of Jesus, Luke. According to what we've read and we read there, our Lord Jesus has died. He has risen from the dead. He has appeared over 40 days and provided convincing proofs to his disciples that he was alive, and spoke about the kingdom of God, what it meant to live under the rule and authority of God. But prior to leaving them and returning to the Father, he had told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promised Holy Spirit, which they did, and they waited. They were waiting in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. The Holy Spirit would speak through them what the Father and Jesus wanted them to say and do now, from now on, for with him, as apostles, once chosen and sent by Jesus, they would continue Jesus' ministry with all God's authority and power. This is the story of the book of Acts. In fact, some commentators think that the book should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. However, prior to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, we have the defection, the betrayal, and the death of Judas Iscariot, a disciple, a former apostle chosen by Jesus. And it is necessary there, if you look at verse 21 of Acts chapter 1, it's necessary, Peter says, that now, as they waited, that another apostle be chosen to make up the 11 of the 12 that Jesus had chosen, to make up the number of 12 that Jesus had chosen. There had to be one who had been with the other apostles, verse 21 there, one who for the whole time the Lord Jesus was living amongst them, had been with them, beginning from John's baptism, and a person who had remained to the time when Jesus was taken up from them. But Judas had not remained, and Judas had not seen with the other 11, verse 22, the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus. He could not be a witness with them, verse 22, of the resurrection. It was necessary, therefore, that another witness be chosen for us to believe. And I take it, this is the reason not only for historical records, for the historical records of what happened in the early days of the church, but that Theophilus, the man for whom this book, the book of Acts and Luke's gospel, is written originally to, and we who would follow on as readers, could be certain of what we have been taught by these apostles. For the ones chosen were witnesses of what they taught that was to be believed. But let's look closer at these verses before us and the process of choosing this other witness to believe, this another witness to believe. Well, we learn three things. We learn three things. And the first is that the early church began as a family. They lived according to the guidance of God as revealed by his word. And thirdly, that they were people who trusted God and of prayer. Let's look firstly. They were a family, verses 15 and 16. Peter, he describes them as believers and brothers and sisters. Leadership in the family appears to be first taken on by the Apostle Peter. When we think of what we know of Peter, his encounter with Jesus after his resurrection has certainly changed the man, hasn't it? The forgiveness of God can do that in a man, even in a man or a woman today. We see this change in Peter. He stood up among the believers, a group numbering of about 120. And this was the number that was actually present in Jerusalem. But we know from the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 6, that he had learned from the apostles earlier that there were well over 500 believers who had seen the resurrection of Jesus in the region of Galilee. So the early church family was no small gathering. 120 would be about three times the many of people that are here today. It's a gathering. They saw themselves as a family. And Peter refers to them and as believers, and Luke records them as believers. Believers in the resurrection of Jesus, who he is, and what he had come to do. Verse 16. Peter addresses the believers in Jerusalem as brothers and sisters. Not in the sibling sense, though some may well have been like Jesus' brothers who were present. Look there back at verse 14. But such was the closeness, the bond between them all in belief in Christ, that Peter calls us brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in belief. A reminder it is of the bond, the oneness of mind, the unity together the church is meant to have that's present there amongst them in these early church. And today we remind ourselves of this, as we did just then in the Apostles' Creed, of this common union that we have in the oneness in Christ that we have as believers in Christ when we say, I believe in the communion of saints. That's what we're saying. This oneness we believe in, this bond that we have as believers, one in Christ. The early church began as a family and went on to be a family and grow. And here Luke records that they lived according to the guidance of God as revealed in his word. Look there at verse 16. They sought reason for Judas's defection, betrayal and death in the comfort and assurance of the scriptures, God's word. Brothers and sisters, Peter is recorded saying, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number. I think there's a lovely little spot there. Sometimes we just overflow that. Peter's actually acknowledging the grief. How could this happen? He was one of our number. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. And then Luke picks up in verse 20 the rest of what Peter has to say. He says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. These early believers were Jews. They knew their Old Testament, and they knew how to read and apply the scriptures. They knew that the Psalms that spoke of the king of the time of the day spoke also, or when the Psalms were written, like David, spoke also of the promised Messiah to come. And so that those who were the king's enemies, they could apply to the enemies of Jesus, to Judas, to those who betray, who defer. The believers Peter spoke to in Jerusalem understood that is why that field in Jerusalem that was bought with the betrayal money given to Judas by the priests, but given back to the priests, and the priests actually bought the field. They understood this little gathering in Jerusalem. They knew that. That's why they knew it was called Acolem, and why no one had anything to do with that field and its story there that came about originally there. They knew that. But Theophilus didn't know that. And to whom this is being written to, you must remember, and it's being written sometime later, and he did not know that. And so that's why Luke has that little interjection into Peter's speech. It's not part of Peter's speech. It's an interjection of Luke's to actually give clarity and context to what Peter's saying in that part there, in verses 18 and 19. It's an explanation of the context of verse 20 and following. So the early church began as a family. They lived according to the guidance of God as revealed in his word. And they were people who trusted God and of prayer. Realizing, therefore, now verse 21, it was necessary to choose one of the men who had been with them for the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among them, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from them, that one of these must become a witness with them of our Lord's resurrection. They nominated two men. They weren't afraid to nominate. They weren't afraid to take initiative and to choose or to nominate two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, I think they say Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Why two? Well, they were obviously the two that filled the job description most worthily, and that they themselves, the apostles, could not choose between the two. So they trusted God, and they prayed accordingly, and they invited the church to pray with them. Verse 24, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Another witness is chosen to be believed. Another witness to trust. Why cast lots, you ask? Because they could not choose between the two. And they knew the Lord knew everyone's heart and that he would show them who was his choice. And the Lord that they're praying to there is Jesus. It takes me back to think of the prophet Samuel and many years before in the choosing of King David from amongst his brothers. In 1 Samuel 16 verse 7 we read, the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord does not look at all the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the Lord knows everyone's heart. And they could trust God and pray accordingly that he would choose rightly. And in Proverbs 16, verse 33, we read, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. It's interesting to note, though, at this point here, that the casting of lots is actually not mentioned anywhere else now in the New Testament. So in finishing up here, why does Luke record these events in the verses before us this morning? That's the question we ought to be asking. Why did he write this to Theophilus? Why has it been retained so that we today and future generations and past who gather could read it and hear it? I take it not only for historical records of what happened in the early days of the church post the resurrection of Jesus as they waited for the promised Holy Spirit and that Matthias was the apostle chosen to replace Judas, that the early church began as a family, lived according to the guidance of God as revealed in his word, a people who trusted God and of prayer, all these things we could take out of this passage here this morning. But chiefly, that we can know the truth because of the certainty of the things that we have been taught by those whom Jesus chose to teach the church and to pass down to us and read in his word, the Bible. For the ones chosen, the ones who have written, were the ones who have seen, who were there, who saw and were witnesses of what they taught, that we can be certain that what we have been taught is truth and to believe it. Today's passage, another witness has been chosen by the Lord to trust. We now are waiting in our readings for when will the Spirit come? It's that little period of 50 days between the resurrection of Jesus to Pentecost. The Jews have all gathered together in Jerusalem from all over the known world, had already come for Passover, of which on the day that Jesus chose to die, of which God's people remembered the death, being released from slavery under Egypt to the promised land, and that now Jesus, these disciples know that Jesus had now died, choosing on the Passover to do so, to take away our sins and give us forgiveness. The Jews have gathered here. Some have become followers and believers and trusting in Jesus for his work. And now they're waiting now, having seen the resurrection. He has ascended to the Father. 40 days he's gathered around them prior to this and given them convincing proofs that he's very much alive physically amongst them in these appearances at times. And now there's a 10-day gap and to Pentecost. And it's interesting that next Sunday is actually Pentecost Sunday, all right? It is it is timed that way, if I've done that. But it is Pentecost next Sunday. And that in the life of the church, we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. But also we remember for Jews, it was the time when they remembered the giving of the law, the giving of how now to live in relationship with God in the promised land as his people. And this is what the Holy Spirit is going to be now teaching the church, the flow on from God's people here now. On that day, it's all part of God's big plan and fulfillment. But more of that next week when we gather together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. We thank you so much for it because you do not leave us with ideas that can be so conveniently worked up as to who you are to satisfy us. You've taught us, you've told us by your witnesses and those who have heard who you are and what you expect and grant to us in your word, the Bible. We thank you for it. Continue to work in our lives as being a people who are a family, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are a people who trust you at your word and who are a people who pray and look forward to the day when you, Jesus, come and take us to be with yourself, knowing that what we've been taught in your word is truth. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
I wonder if you were to think about three things that you delight in, what they might be. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 found delight in God's commands. I wonder if that was one of your three things. Please join with me as we say together these wonderful words of Scripture. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands give me delight. Your statutes are always righteous. Give me understanding that I may live. Please join with me as we sing now. This is almost like a prayer, this next song. Give me an undivided heart. Think carefully about the words that come, because in some parts where we are asking that God would sanctify us, take us and make us new, these are big requests. So please stand and join with us.
seated. We now are going to spend some time in prayer. So please sit or kneel, whatever posture you want to take. But just bring your heart before the Lord, your heart and your mind. May he still you to concentrate, to focus on him. We're going to begin with the set prayer for today. So please join with us. Let us pray that we may recognize the presence of Christ together. Father, help us to keep in mind that Christ the Saviour lives with you in glory and promise to maintain us until the end of time. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We are so fortunate to be able to draw close to God in prayer because of Jesus, who intercedes for us. We are so blessed. Almighty God and Father, we come before you with thanks and praise for all that you have done for everyone in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the way, showing us we have everything we need in you. And because of that, we can come to you. We can come to the Father. We are taught that we can cast all our anxiety on you because you care for us and the world, those who are around us. We pray for the world, O sovereign God. We ask for the hearts of leaders to be enlightened by your Spirit, that you may reveal the truth of the gospel, so that justice can be brought to nations, your ways be held in high esteem. That the glory can belong to Jesus and for what he's done. That the world may look to him. That through this, peace may be given to others, to people to know. And that is not what the world can give them. Only you. We also ask for mercy and aid for those in areas of conflict, devastation, violence, poverty, and hunger. I pause now for you to think of two or three nations and areas. For me, it is the Ukraine. For you, it may be another place. Can we just pause now and bring those before the Lord in our hearts? We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and cast these cares. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of our country. We are truly blessed, but already we see disruption, hurt and pain around us. The ignoring of you and your word, the conflict. And in this midst of all of this, O God, we have a law system. And we have judges and courts who are quite overwhelmed. We ask that you would give them wisdom and guidance to uphold the law with integrity and truth. May you bring forth people of faith to administer wisely and with a heart to know what is right and what is good. We also ask these things for our governors, our governance in here Australia, amongst the federal government, our states. We ask that they would rule without selfish motives, that they would be able to listen to what is right and good and proper. We pray that the Parliament would have wisdom and fairness in their decisions for the common good of the people, and that they listen to what is right. Lord, hear us, for we put our trust in you. Amen. O Heavenly Father, you have a love that is everlasting. We ask for your help and comfort to fellow believers who suffer for following Jesus. Provide them with your word. Comfort them in their affliction. And may they rest in you each and every day to stand firm for Christ and for you. May their persecutors, O God, come to know Jesus as their Saviour. Draw them to you, that they may see the truth and turn to you and live. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You truly are the lover of our souls, mighty God. You truly are the provider of all. We thank you for your grace to us, your church throughout the world. Thank you that you've not left us alone with the gift of the Holy Spirit, a spirit of truth, our helper, our guide. We truly ask that people in Australia would understand the gospel and its truth. May your spirit send out your light amongst our people here in this land. We want to thank you for your servants who faithfully preach your word, teach and share the love of Christ, and particularly for your servants in the Blair family and the Retondado family, as they serve you where they are here in Australia. May the people around them and the people they come in contact with see the love of Christ, see the light. We also pray and thank you for chaplains in the police service, to the police service. May they have wisdom in their interaction and a heart to be able to express your love to these people who day by day put their service and their lives on the line for us. We pray that these men and women can come to a knowledge and faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now we come to you, O God, as your people here in Abbotsford and the world. May your church throughout the world keep its eyes and hearts fixed on Jesus, on your word. May all your children be devoted to prayer, filled with the Holy Spirit, full of truth and love, that it may bear fruit throughout the world, that your church would grow in Christ and obey your word. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your word is preached so faithfully here and taught at St. Andrew's. Keep us united in the Spirit, in love and truth, so that together we bring glory and honour to you. We also ask for restoration of health and strength among those who are ill or in recovery, lonely, depressed, or anxious here amongst us. They are so dear, O God, to you and to us. We thank you, Lord, that Lynn Clark is able to come home. That's a true answer to prayer, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the way you have supported the people in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are working in their lives. Help us not to give up praying. Help those people who are being prayed for not to give up, to understand that we can trust in you and we can rest in you through it all. Give those who need strength and comfort, support and love. Thank you, O God, for your provision and your protection and love. For we have no one else, and we put our trust in you, O God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus said also, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Brothers and sisters in Christ, at the heart of the Christian life is active trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving death for sin. In this symbolic meal of the Lord's Supper, originating from Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, we express and deepen our trust in him as we eat and drink with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord's Supper is an outward and visible sign of the grace shown to us in Christ. As we share bread and wine together, we're invited to feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We are faced again with God's love for the unworthy, and we are strengthened by faith in the one whose body was given and whose blood was shed for us. So come then with heartfelt repentance and genuine trust in the Lord Jesus, realizing the profound significance of sharing in this way, and say together, "We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your boundless goodness and mercy. We are not even worthy to eat the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord who's always rich in mercy. Enable us by faith to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may be cleansed from sin and forever dwell in him and he in us. Amen." We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We praise you especially for your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who by his death on the cross and rising to new life offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. We thank you, Father, that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup, and again giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So therefore, Father, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts of bread and wine, and we pray that we who eat and drink them, believing our Saviour's word, may be partakers of his body and blood. To Jesus Christ, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed upon him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve your body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Amen.
Lord and Heavenly Father, in your loving kindness, accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Grant that by the merits and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and your whole church may receive forgiveness of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. With gratitude for all your mercies, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We just have a little bit of family business now. A few things that Trevor is going to talk with us about, and Karen is as well.
Thanks, Fiona. It's lovely. It's great. Karen, over to you.
We've been having fun out in the sunshine. It's a beautiful morning.
Can I ask one of them a bit later on? Is that all right? Ask
yes, if Erwin, he's found some trucks and the slide.
Oh, cool.
And so they're having an awesome time out there at the moment. So if we can get him in, then
right,
yes.
Right.
Look, this Friday night is our women's supper here at church. We have Jessica Thomas coming. You've heard a bit from her last week at church, but she's excited to be able to come and share more about her ministry overseas. So if you'd like to come and join us and you haven't indicated yet, please let me know or put your name on the list at the back of the church there. I think it'll be a lovely evening for us to spend some time together. So do come along to that. And well, Trevor's going to tell you more.
Is there something else for you? I think you're after this slide as well too. Next Saturday, don't think you're going to be missing out, men. There's a men's breakfast from 8:30 on Saturday morning. So come along, but put your name on the list at the back of the church so I know for catering purposes, at the table at the back as well. Oh, this is fun. It's a tag.
Okay, right on. And, ladies, I hope you've put in your diary the Equip Conference for the 18th of June. We're going to live stream that here at the church, and that, again, will be a lovely morning and day. Oh, it's actually a whole day from 9 till 3 of fellowship being taught from the Book of Lamentations. So do put your name down for that, and you can register online. And if you'd like some assistance to do that, please let me know. Okay. Over to you.
And again, thank you for giving towards the work of the gospel in this place through your offertorings. I know you're given that thought. It's that time of the year again when we think about our finances. Thank you for giving towards either through the envelopes or through online. There. And also thank you for giving towards mission support in this place as well. And you can think of that maybe with the envelopes that are on the side of your pews. Please, if you would like prayer after the service today, you are welcome to come up, remembering that we, the church, is a people of prayer. And today, Dick and Manette would love to pray with you. So come up the front, and if you have any, would you like prayer for you, then please, they would be happy to do that with you. As you go from here now, do so safely, COVID safely. Come and continue the fellowship after the song that we've sung, and have some morning tea, go out into the lovely sunshine, and ask the Sunday club or the church kids, kids church kids today, especially Erwin. We might be able to get something from Erwin. He's a little bit older, as to what they've learned from scripture, from church today. That will be encouraging them. I've got to get a ball off the roof as well. So if anyone wants to help me, they can do that as well. We're going to sing our very last song, and Fiona will finish off the service with prayer.
Stand up.
This song reminds us that it's God's grace, as you might have picked up through our songs this morning, that carries us through. He gives us grace that we can be who he wants us to be in this world. So this song reminds us that it is through Christ in us that we work and that we can run that race ahead of us.
Gift of praise is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Oh, the night.
When our hope is only in Jesus, we have a certain, unshakable hope. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and will not be dethroned, and to the Lamb. Praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honour, power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.